Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show here for season four of Court of Swords. We just wrapped up episode 83, but we kind of talked about if you missed the end of the second portion of today's show, go watch that on YouTube because we did a little bit of recapping there. But this one, we'll kind of talk a little bit more about the episode in general. Zeke, I think you might be the MVP of that first fight, as well as the mass heal from Ramus.
I forgot that Ramus could do the mass heal, and I'm like, they are fucked. And then Dan's like, no.
Yeah.
And everybody just gets up. I'm like, yes, so good.
I think it was. Yeah. It also showed that like there was patience. Like you waited for both of them to fall for a reason. That was a clutch play for sure. It was a lot of fun to see that. And then Kali with the kill.
Well, the only reason that I was able to get that kill is because Dan fucking got unlucky with those wounds, those caused wounds.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
Those unlucky attack rolls. Like, that just opened the door. I was like, oh, come on, please. And I was just like, this is not going to work. And it just, like, barely did what it needed to do. So, lucky, unlucky, whatever. It was really awesome that I got the killing blow, that Kalimot got blow.
Everything about that fight made perfect sense narratively. Like, everything about that fight. Kali getting the kill, the amount of time Bergs, like, went down and came back up in that fight was great. Even the idea of, like, Yoji being worthless in that fight, I think made sense to me just because I don't know what these things are. I've never really encountered them that much before. And I didn't even know why the fuck we were fighting that guy really until after asking Kalimat afterwards. So it was, and Ramus also like being good, but also failing spoke to his idea of like, he's just having a bad fucking time lately. Like he's not really himself without the soul. So even though it sucked to miss those inflict wounds, I think it made sense. It kind of played into the narrative. What's the damage roll on those inflict wounds, by the way, at level 4? Is that like 60-10?
60-10, yeah. It's a lot.
It would have done a lot of damage. Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just look at someone and go, pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, just melt away, please. I don't like you. Go away.
Yeah. Turn into goo.
Yeah, then I don't know. The rest of the episode happened. We got out of there. I don't know. And we got kind of betrayed, which I guess makes sense. I understand why that happened.
I saw Max. I saw you in chat be like, "Oh, here it comes." when you gave him the knife, you're like, "Oh boy, here comes the twist."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I was asking him, like, what happens now? Like, what do we do here? Because I was thinking, do we have to, like, summon the god? Is that why he looked at me? And I couldn't figure it out. But, Colleen, what were you going to say? Or Zeke, what were you going to say?
Nothing. Nothing. Okay. I was just going to make a comment.
But... Well, Adam, I'm curious. Is that why he looked at me when he said that in the first? Is because he thought that, like, only I could speak to the god or something? Or what was that about? Do you remember specifically?
He spent most of the first, like the time between when you had him to when you gave him to Hazan or vice versa, just trying to figure you guys out, like trying to be like, when is there, like, what is their deal? Like, are they, what are they driven by? Like, what do they want? And I think he figured that Yoji was the one most likely to like do the deed, because the rest had their own kind of like other agendas and he couldn't quite figure yours out. But that was the impression that he was getting. But for him, it was mostly just like, hey, wait a second. Being alive is awesome. Like he spends all this time being stuck in the vault and being like, okay, I'm ready to die. But then he gets out into the world and is like, oh boy. Oh, it's even if this is like in a shithole, this is great. I feel like good being alive. And then he's like, no, I can't give this up.
Yeah. Yep. It made sense. Dan, I was a little bit upset that you stole my thunder in terms of summoning him, but then when you gave your speech, I was like, I wouldn't have done that speech. He killed it. Never mind. You can have this
one. Yeah.
The speech was great. I couldn't have done that. So you nailed it. That was cool. It was really cool. Did you write that out, or is that completely off the top of your head as you were saying it?
Top of the head, I was saying it. Just
okay. You didn't stutter. 1% of the time. You didn't stutter at all. It was good. It looked rehearsed.
The skill you learn in the longer you play D&D is how to just bullshit.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
What, in real it's time. All, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's all just winging it. It's winging it, but like in a very specific way.
Yeah. Totally. You got to make it look like you knew what you were saying before you said it, even if you didn't.
Totally. Max.
It had to have been a conscious choice to use the picture of the Tarrasque from the Monsters Manual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, big scary monster.
That's what I imagine this to be the entire time. I think as a player, I don't know if necessarily I like knew that as a character, but yeah,
that was the most epic moment was seeing a big face appear.
Yeah,
it was the most epic map ever.
It was awesome for sure, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah,
like it would take my entire movement just to get across him.
Yeah. So what can you actually show? Like what is that thing's actual size, Adam? Just in general,
like an actual Tarrasque?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Oh, they're not that big. They're like let me see. What size are you? Tarrasque at normal size.
It's like gargantuan.
They're 5x5, I think. 4x4. Let me see.
I think that's
They're 4x4.
Is that considered gargantuan?
They are. I don't know that they're the biggest. It is, gargantuan monstrosity. Yep.
Yeah.
25 armor class, 676 hit points. Immunity to fire, poison, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. All kinds of bad shit.
Yeah. I thought that was a...
Well, there's only one of them. Reveal.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
I used that token as the guy because I thought that'd be cool. And plus, he's like a giant, a super Tarrasque, so... Like, dude's as big as the biggest mountain. It would be like if Mount Everest had a monster living inside of it, and then he woke up and just blew up Mount Everest. Like, how tall is Mount Everest?
How do you know there's not, Adam? Huh? Have you been there?
There might be. That's fair.
You never
know.
You never know.
Let's see. Mount Everest is 8,848 meters tall.
It's not that
big. A big monster.
Yeah.
29,000 feet.
What's
fine?
I'm gonna lose nerd cred. What's the big monster in the new? It's an old monster in the new Godzilla trailer that's in the shadow with the giant wings. That's not Mothra. Is it?
Mothra is the big moth, but Ghidorah has wings, and he's in that.
I think that's Ghidorah. Guy. He's in that too. That's what I was imagining in my head. What this thing looks like is a landform Ghidorah.
How tall is Godzilla? I mean, he varies, but I think. Between 164 feet and like 10 times that, it looks like, or 3 times that. Yeah. So he varies between 50 and 150 meters. So I would say like considerably more than Godzillas. That. But he started at Godzilla size and then slowly grew.
Yeah.
There's a chart on the internet, if people are curious, there's a chart of like sizes of the various like
D&D
enormous
monsters.
Creatures of movies. And
oh,
stuff.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
That one's cool as well as the spaceship one that has the different spaceships next to each other. With all the Star Destroyers and shit like that. It's cool. Max, I feel like we'd be viewers would be sad if we didn't ask you. Were you really ready to give away Berg there? Were you ready to let him die and just fall into the pit?
Yeah, if it happened, it happened.
It was time.
Yeah. I was like, this is a pretty poetic moment if he's going to go out. Like, and also it made sense in that engagement to be like, okay, well, Berg is the one that's strongest, like just grapple him. And if that's the only way to do it, that's the only way to do it. Mm-hmm. Berg lives. He just wants to live forever. his spirit, his soul, whatever you want to call it.
I love that you crit that. you crit the resist to call.
I know.
I want to. I want to die. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was like, it doesn't make sense because even just like, it doesn't serve the purpose or any of our purposes there. If I did, you know, keep that con save, like, okay, then he breaks free and then everything I was just trying to do is stupid and doesn't matter. So no, right. I don't want that.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, looking back on it, I was like, you could have saved that, stayed on the edge and everything would have been just fine. You wouldn't even need to make that deck save. Like dude would have come up and grabbed... Only
I didn't know that though.
Yeah, we didn't know the mechanics of it, right? Like,
I didn't know that. I didn't know the mechanics. I didn't know, you know, how, what needed to be activated. And I knew something needed to happen. I just didn't know what. So that's why I was like, whatever it takes to keep him in that zone and not being able to fly away, that's what Berg's going to do.
Yeah.
Dude, I was fully with you. That's why I pushed you in.
Yeah. Right. Was that two questions? One for Adam. Is that what the divine summoning was in the turn order? Was that hidden?
I saw it pop up. No, the divine awakening was.
Or divine awakening.
So yeah. He started, Nameless started as a nerfed Death Knight, and every time that, it was a 3-round timer, and if you'd kept fighting him, every 3 rounds he gets, like, closer to full power.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, he was only making one attack, and his armor class was lower. He didn't have his, like, necro fireball thing that he would get, and so I was just adding, every 3 rounds I was going to add in additional abilities and stuff.
Gotcha. And then second question for Dan, was that the purpose of hold person on him, was to do that and then cast the summon with him on the edge, or like say that you're summoning him with him on the edge?
Yeah. See, I was going to, if he was paralyzed, I was hoping someone could push him in.
Yeah.
And then I was going to try to summon the thing when he was in the pit or falling or above it.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad they pushed him over the pit. That was my plan.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think, for whatever reason, even though no, it was not spoken, we all worked together there with the same goal initially, which was cool for sure. Because I think, like Adam said, if we had lasted another couple of rounds, we would have.
It's funny, the joke you made earlier today about Kingdom Hearts was exactly how the fight went.
Oh yeah, totally. No, that the entire time in my head, I'm thinking like, this is Kingdom Hearts. This is more. I can't escape this fucking game. Some other bullshit mechanic that we have to do, yeah. Or we die. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking the entire time. Do you guys want to expand on anything in terms, like, I think we're all pretty into the idea of like going on these sub missions, like these little mini missions, yeah. Across the board for sure.
Yeah, it's like if this were a comic book, this would be that, like, we would collect this as the last graphic novel of the main one, and then it would be like we'd have some other sub graphic novel arc of like characters you're familiar with, but we also want to let the artist make some new characters, so let's expand on the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a way to like just spotlight a specific character and then let everybody else play around a little bit. And then, I mean, maybe you make a character you really like and you don't want to go back to your other character. And you're like, cool, well, that's fine. We'll just stick with this guy.
Right.
But yeah, I like it. It gives us the opportunity. It's like somewhere between a one shot or a short arc with new characters. Mm-hmm. We get to stick with the familiar when we want to. I like it. It's like that part in Final Fantasy VI where you split the party and check out all their
stuff. Totally.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
No, I'd love it because I'm pretty sure Dan is really itching to sink his teeth into another character. So if Yoji and me want to go and do either one of our things first, I'm down. I'm totally down to play some more Calimont.
Yeah, I think I'll just play Yoji for what it, like all three parts if it makes sense for him to be there.
So you fell in love with him, did you?
No, I've just played too many characters.
Oh.
I don't want to play another character.
Oh, I forgot about it. I totally forgot. I oftentimes forget that, like, this show has been going on long before me. So
yeah, what?
Yeah.
I forget how many characters you've gone through.
How many characters have I gone through?
A lot.
So there was
one didn't even get a chance to, like, live at all.
Yeah, that was
just like...
That was the druid. Yep. So there was the Zephira. Who did we play after Zephira? Was that the angels? No.
God, I can't remember.
Gideon?
Was Gideon after that? Yeah, the druid. And then Gideon died, and that's when we played, because he died in the cave, so then I played Azrael, the warlock, and then Azrael died in the caves, and then I played Enoch, and then Enoch died in something. He died in the courtyard, right? Or something like that? I forgot where his
death was. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about Enoch until you said his name just now. I was like, oh, yeah, Enoch.
Yeah, he was there at the start of the Court of Swords with Berg and Ramus, with the Anarch, I think. And then we did the Primordial Arc, and I played a Dwarf Berserker. But I had two characters before that I don't even remember the names of or class, because they both lasted an episode. Yeah. And then I had Solly Hoffa. So Yoji is my 9th character on the show. Jesus. So that's why I don't want to play another character. Because I'm tuned into Yoji right now. We know Ramus's kind of quest is to get a soul. Kali's kind of, I think, to multitude of things, like kind of push down the dragon path and kind of the old god path and figure out kind of where he's going. I think he's also, I would think Kali would get kind of an ego after what just occurred. Like, he killed the person that he enslaved, or that, like, he set upon the world, and then killed, like, or rather destroyed a city. So, I think that there's, like, a sense of...
What's interesting is that the effects of these arcs could affect the follow-up arcs, right? Like, if we did Kalimat first, it might end up, like, I could see it going that, like, Kalimat finds out his draconic lineage, but becomes, in the process, like, a horrific dragon monster, and we have to retire Kalimat because he's a bad guy now. And then for Ramus's arc, it's like, oh, you want a soul back? Cool, you gotta go kill this horrible dragon monster that used to be Kalimat. Like, depending on who is involved in what thing, they're definitely gonna be, like, maybe some that are happening at the same time, others that are happening one after another. I think the order in which we choose them is going to be as important as what they are sort of fundamentally about.
Yeah.
And then, so can we talk about like our ideas?
Well, that's like what I was going to say. Right, like, now, or we know what Ramus's is. Yeah. Like, what is yours, Zeke? What would you think?
Well, I was thinking that since Yoji has that arrow of God killing, he has a mission to go. And who was Yoji? Like, do we know who he's going to kill?
His dad.
Or he wants to kill with that?
It's his dad. God,
right. But his dad is a god of something?
Yeah, it hasn't been revealed yet. He is a god, but it hasn't been revealed.
This is... mull this idea over and see what it does to you. So I would like Kalimat to accompany Yoji and whomever else to kill his dad. And I think Kalimat might want to supplant him.
You said that so casually, like, I would really love it if I could come with you to kill your dad.
Yeah.
Wait, and
you
become,
need help.
You want to...
committing fratricide.
You would want to take his role of whatever he's the god of?
Maybe.
I don't think you want to.
Maybe. If I had nothing else going on, if I got nothing better to do, you know, whatever.
I don't know what he's the god of yet.
I don't want to tell you, but I want you to supplant him, because that would be great. That would be the most Kalimat thing to ever occur.
The only way to stop this chaos from happening and to stop things like Maud being given and taken and stuff and like that, and is to be in control of all of it.
Sure. Yeah. We could definitely push down that path, because, like I said, Yoji has ideas for what Kali could do, et cetera. So yeah, I think that makes sense to have them kind of go off on their own. Berg, what about, or Max, what about Berg? Like, what is his thing? Would you just have him go and, like, rebuild a village and be nice? what is Berg's path?
Get a swamp?
Yeah, like, what does he do?
He just goes to a swamp and makes his own little swamp church. Yeah. No, I don't know. Berg's it's in an odd place, because Berg is kind of like, he's not like in despair anymore. And he's not like, you know, in such pain. It's kind of odd for him. And that's why like when Adam was like, well, what is Berg doing? It's like, he's just kind of looking to heaven because he doesn't really know exactly what to do. He knows there's this evil version of him, you know,
right,
that's left over from where
Berg
what happened.
He becomes Kane from Kung Fu, and he just wanders the earth, you know, solving people's problems.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that Berg comes with Yoji and Kali? Or does he go off on
his
own? Okay.
Yeah, probably. I don't think he has anything else to do off on his own. I mean, he still has that thing that he promised for Agni, you know, with the crystal or whatever, and the ruby or whatever, to bring it to...
I think that would be an awesome side quest, and I'd love to have a new character to play with Berg for that.
That would be Berg's...
And I would also love to play with you with a new character, with you playing a new character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it makes sense for, like, Yoji and Kali then to split off on their own, because Berg and Ramus kind of are going to the same place, right? Like, if you're going to go deal with Agni and Emix, is that his name, Adam? The... God of Fire,
yeah, the Fire Lord.
Yeah, because that's where you want to go, right, Dan? Is to talk with them.
Yeah, contact the old god servants and figure out if they can help me.
Yeah, and I would think Yoji would have a place in that. So I don't know. We'd have to figure that out. Unless maybe you guys go on your own, or we just make it like mini arcs and just travel around as a group from spot to spot. I don't know. We kind of have to figure that out. Because in that way, then no one gets to play a new character. Unless someone departs on their own, or two people depart on their own, etc. But it's something to think about. We got time. So I guess just kind of think
definitely
about
care. When books come out, like, there's new classes and stuff. I was theory craft a bunch of shit, and as a class I want to try out.
Yeah. Luckily, I get to live that. I don't have to just choose a class that I would try out. I get to try them out.
You're forced to.
Yeah, I'm forced to. Exactly. I think that's kind of where we're at. We'll need to discuss in our private group chat kind of where we want to go, and then once we figure that out, we'll set a date and kind of go from there.
So you guys, I guess the structure of this would be, you guys think about like a brief synopsis of what your character wants to do. Like Ramus wants to go and make a deal to become a fire cleric and a full-fledged fire cleric and get his soul back, or like fix his soul problem, right? Berg, you figure out what you want to do, and we think of something for every character, and then we will decide which one we want to do first, and then I'll prep that one, and then we'll do it, and then we'll see. We'll check in again at the end of the arc and see what, you know, what the next one we want to do is.
Cool. Yeah, I think maybe just message Adam that privately, so you don't just like tell the entire arc or whatever to the rest of the group, and then we can kind of go down that path.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about in terms of the episode, or are we good?
I think we're good.
I'm excited.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that ends season 4 of Court of Swords. Season 5 starts soon, TM, because we don't have a date yet, because next week's Gen Con. So we'll talk amongst ourselves and let you guys know whenever we do figure that out. It might just potentially be sometime the week of the 14th. Maybe. Maybe later in that week.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Anyways, that's going to do it. Appreciate all the support once again on Patreon. We'll have some live shows obviously coming up pretty soon. Scoots is coming out here on the 24th of August, so we can kind of start going down that path. Maybe if we take long enough, maybe we could do the first live show is the season 5 premiere of Court of Swords or something like that. That might be fun. We'll figure it out. I'll let you guys know. No promises. Yeah, we're out, though. We'll see you next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.